again. You're going to see our men be, clap. Hallelujah. Going to start seeing our men be more active in the church, amen. And I am excited about our men. Let me tell you, boy, you throw me off every time I look back and you got them gazelles on. Can I be real? Can I just be real? I'll be like, well, Biggie. I'm like, Biggie. Amen. Let's bless God. Amen. Brother Cornelius got him a job. Amen. Let's bless the Lord. Amen. These are things that we celebrate, amen, amongst family, amen. And family helped get the job, amen. So we, let, you know, yeah, that's what we do. We're supposed to bless God for Sister Larissa, amen, who, amen, yeah. I said, find Cornelius a job. She said, I'm already on it, Pastor. So we bless God, amen. We don't want to take any of it lightly. I love y'all so much. I have missed y'all, amen. I've been on that book tour, amen. And if you haven't bought your pastor's book by now, you've got time to get to heaven, amen. We've got that book waiting for you, amen. Bless God. But I've just got to say this again. I'm going to tell you something. The men in this church right now have me pumped about ministry. And I've been saying that, you know, I've told my wife, I said, I am excited about the men right now. And I am celebrating them openly because they are serious. I mean, we have our text thread is off the hook, amen. And and I just love how God is keeping it all together, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you real quickly. It ain't going to be quick. I got a long one, but I ain't going to play around, so we're going to get through it. Amen. I want to talk to you about, and I gave you notes today because I wanted you to have, Missy said, blessing. it just hit me. I wanted you to have notes today because we don't have the screens up. But then the Lord said, no, I want notes from here on out on everything that you teach and preach so that we can take these things home and they be a reminder of what it is, and especially this sermon series, because if we really pay attention and we buy into this, should cultivate our community. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I really believe that God is doing something amazing in the Unity Worship Center right now. And I believe that it's just the best is yet to come. Amen. With the help of the Holy Spirit today, we will begin a sermon series entitled Community. The reason for this series is to prayerfully get people to see the importance of understanding that unity is not just a church, but it is also a community. We just did a community thing just now, amen? As I say that, some of you might not really understand what I mean by that, so I would like to give you a definition for the word community in hopes to make where I am going a little bit clearer. Hallelujah. You guys can be seated, amen? Y'all can. The definition of for community that I like says, community is a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Now, to make sure that everyone understands the concept of community that I want conveyed, I want to now give you another definition of the word fellowship. And the definition that I found and like says, fellowship is friendly association, especially with people who share one's interests. Fellowship is friendly association, especially with people who share one's interests. I found it interesting that the word interest comes up in both of the definitions for community and fellowship. So, of course, I wanted a more official meaning of the word interesting or interest that I had in my mind than the one that I had in my mind. And so when I looked up the word interesting or interest, it said that it is a feeling that accompanies or causes special attention to something or someone. You should have already caught the whole sermon just within these three definitions. And this definition caught my attention because one of the biggest problems that I see in the Christian community today is a lack of interest in the only one thing that we should be interested in. And since our attention has been improperly placed, oftentimes our community lacks the most important amenity that any Christian community has to have. An amenity is a nice feature used by companies to attract people to take on their product. When you are looking at a house or an apartment to move into, the realtors may entice you with the fact that the property has a pool or that it's in a great neighborhood or that it has washer and dryer hookups and well, you get the picture, good schools and are even stated in the list of amenities. Over the years, the church has created amenities for the ministries in hopes to attract people to their church. So when we tell people about our churches, we say things like, we have an awesome praise team. And children, we have an awesome children's church ministry. And our outreach program helps the homeless. These are the things that we say when we tell people about our community. All amenities that are easy, that they are all easy to be proud of. And easy to brag on. And I'm not sure having an awesome praise team and cafe and children's church or outreach program should be something to brag on, but we do. And I'm glad that we have them. Amen? If I'm just being real, I want them to be the absolute best children's church and cafe and praise team that we can have. But I want the preach word to be better than all of that. I want the preach word to be a great amenity. And even more than the preached word, I want the greatest amenity that a Christian community can have. And that would be the presence of God. That's what you ought to be saying when you begin to describe your church is the presence of God is there. The presence of God is there. The word is teached. And then you can go down through all the other amenities that your ministry has to offer. And could that be the problem here at the Unity Worship Center, that the presence doesn't always constantly dwell here because his presence is not constantly dwelling in all of us? So let me just go ahead and break this down because it's something that I saw today while the praise and worship team was doing its thing. Were doing their thing, everybody was in, especially that last song, I give myself away and I bow down before you and all of that, and everybody got in. But my question is, how many times were you in prior to today? And is the only time that you really get in or that you really feel God or worship God is when you're in the worship service? And this is the problem. I declare this could be the problem with the 21st century westernized church, but especially the Unity Worship Center. I believe it was Pastor Grayson, Shaniqua Grayson, who said you can't perform what you don't practice at home. That's why sometimes when you get caught up in here, when the presence of the Lord drops and you get caught up in here, you just really don't know what to do. It's not because it's so overwhelming. It's because you really just ain't in contact with the presence of the Lord at home. And I need you to understand that you are the church. This is just a building that houses the church, but you are the church. Amen. And one of the hardest things will always be is for you to come into the building that houses the church and then try to operate as the church if you're not the church the other 6 days of the week. Amen. Whew, okay, I hear you, Holy Ghost. See, here is the problem. Lord, have mercy. He just won't let me go. Here is the problem is that we used to get tired of Granny and Gigi and Memo and Big Mama and all of them because they kept us in church. And when you watched them in church, they, you know, you were young and you were lightweight embarrassed because they shout. With, you know, they didn't have keyboard players back then. Not in my church, they didn't. They didn't have keyboard players. And this was the drum right here. This was the drum. But because the power of God was so amazing in the house, people would lose their mind. And we as young people didn't know the blessing that we were setting in because, you know, we was more so, oh, God, I hate when she acts like this. I just sit down, you know, I'm embarrassed. They're going to make fun of me at Sunday school. Or they're going, you know, they go, you know, all of that. But the reality is we are supposed, and here's something. Can I just go ahead and say something about the old folk? They were saved all the time. They were saved all the time. Now, I want you, Lord, have mercy. Listen, so I want you to understand what I'm saying by that, because I know one of the biggest problems for people who frequent the Unity Worship Center is a lot of times you have to walk out of here going, who I thought was saved all my life may not have been. This is a ministry that confronts what you've always thought. This is a ministry that confronts what you thought you always knew and what you thought you always knew about other people, because you come here and you realize that being saved isn't as easy as one might think. Let me back that thing up. It's easy to be saved. Yeah, that part's easy. It is easy to be saved. What we're learning is that the cloud of witnesses, or the Bible calls it, but to break that thing down, the examples that we have before us, now we're learning, may not have been saved. Oh, God. And that's the problem. That's the problem with generational curses. That's the problem with generational conditioning, is that we walk through Christianity following the likes of people before us that were connected to us and really have not cultivated a lifestyle with God of our own. And so I'm figuring I'm saved because Gigi was saved. Oh, God. See, but you know that you're maturing as a Christian when you can sit back and look at some people that you've loved all your life and say, whoo, I don't know. See, cause God don't care about cause you love them. He gives you no, you don't get a pass or you don't get a leeway. You've got to be real about what it is that you've been and who it is that you've been allowing to condition you when it comes to Christ's likeness. Yeah. This thing's got to toughen up. Do you know that the Apostle Paul, the biggest church that he ever pastored was about 62 people? And do you know why the biggest church that he pastored, the Apostle Paul, yeah, with all the books that he wrote in the New Testament, the reason why the church was so small, but the biggest church that he ever pastored was 62 people, because his sayings was too hard. Because he actually does something that we don't do today. He actually had an expectation of folk in church really being saved. See, today the problem is we have too many pimps in the pulpit, and so there's no expectation for salvation, true transforming salvation, to take place in the lives of the believers. So the pastors allow the flock to run around just as raggedy as they want to, because as long as the bills is getting paid and as long as they got a check to cash, folk don't really care about where your soul is going to end up. Bad community leader. And when we think it's no big deal till we bury him at 17. We think it's no big deal till they leave a year old baby, maybe, and baby on the way, and ain't even 40 years old. We think it ain't no big deal when we see the craziness and the madness happening around. You know, my spiritual mother, I shared this with you before. One of the things that she said that always stuck with me, she said, what is it about your Holy Ghost? What is it about your Holy Ghost that demons are comfortable around you? Yeah. What is it about your Holy Ghost that demons, stay focused. Y'all act like y'all ain't never seen babies cry before. Ain't nothing wrong with them babies crying. This is boring to them. They babies. That's why we got to get our nursery up and running. Amen. That's why when I get on the page and I say I need some help in the nursery, people ought to be like, yo, I got that, because ain't nobody going to miss the service because they feel some type of way. And I'm going to tell you, this is we just had an episode of church folk being church folk. People walking out so that they can save the service because of the baby, and then everybody wants to look at the person. You think they don't feel some type of way while you're watching them as they walk out the door? What makes you think it's going to be easy for them to walk back in the door next week? Get yourselves together. We don't do that in this house. We don't do that in this house. We don't make people feel like they should not come back because they have situations going on that is out of their control. We don't do that, and we will not do that in this house. That is not our community. And you tell her don't go nowhere. Thank you, Lily. I have a cousin. See, we got this thing messed up. We got it all messed up. And we wonder why they don't fool with us. Because the things that ain't important become important at the expense of somebody's feelings. Let me get back to my manuscript. I got a cousin who lives in one of the most expensive suburbs in the state of Philadelphia. And they have something that many of you have heard called the Homeowners Association. And within their community, they have a list of rules and regulations that you have to sign in order to be a part of this group. And when you sign this contract or community covenant, what you are saying is you know the standard of that community and you are committed to keeping it. Now there are voluntary homeowner associations and there are mandatory homeowner associations. Mandatory homeowner associations do not provide the option of non-membership. Homeowners will automatically join the HOA at signing, which means they have to adhere to the bylaws and pay the dues and all that comes with that. A mandatory HOA will not allow residents to opt out of joining. You cannot refuse to pay your fines. You cannot refuse to sign this covenant. And if you're going to enter into this home owners association, when you sign your membership papers, you are legally liable to pay any fines regardless of the type of homeowners association. Get this, refusal to pay fines can result in legal action from the HOA, including liens and even foreclosure. Homeowners associations can set rules about what you can and cannot do with the exterior of your property. They can restrict paint colors and mandate that you paint your house and instruct you to repair items like gutters or peeling paint, or even tell you that you need to mow your lawn regularly. Years ago, a famous rap artist moved into the community that my cousins lived in. And all hours of the day, he and those who lived with and visited him would ride through her neighborhood all hours of the day and night blasting their music. And after a few weeks, there was a letter sent to the rap artist asking him to stop riding through the community with his derogatory music, blasting and disrupting the residents that resided around him. In fact, some of y'all might have heard of him. His name was Ja Rule. This loud music continued, and after another week, another letter was sent with a copy of the homeowner's covenant. And highlighted in a particular part of the covenant were two things. The part that discussed that there would be no loud music, no speeding through the community, and so on. The second thing that was highlighted was his signature, reminding him that he had read, agreed, and signed the covenant himself. And lastly was a serious warning of what they were prepared to do if this continued to be a problem. 2 months later, the Homeowners Association filed a legal action, and within 6 months, this famous rap artist was legally forced to sell his home and leave the community. What amazed me about that story was how the Homeowners Association the covenant was so well detailed on just about every potential point or issue, and their determination was to carry out the terms of the covenant. When I think about that, I can't help but think about God's covenant with us. Now, before we deal with God's covenant, what it is with his community, let's first deal with what a covenant is. And see, some examples of God's covenant in times past with his community. Generally speaking, a covenant is a promise between two or more parties to perform certain actions. The word can also be used as a verb, as in, we covenant to work together on this project until it is finished. A covenant is very similar to a promise. The concept, get this, the concept of covenant is significant in the scriptures. In fact, the word testament is really another word for covenant. The Bible is comprised of two parts, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, hence the Old Testament and the New Testament. Covenant was a well-known concept in ancient times, and covenants could be made between two equal parties or between a king and their subject. The king would promise certain protections, and the subject would promise loyalty to the king. A covenant might be conditional or unconditional. The Old Testament is more than a history of Israel. It is really a history of the covenant in which God revealed little by little his character and his plans and purposes for mankind. There are some major covenants that stand out to us in the Word of God. After the flood, God made a covenant with Noah that he would never again destroy the world by a flood. And he also gave some basic principles for humanity to live by. You can find that in the book of Genesis, chapter 8, verses 20, all the way through chapter 9, verse number 17. Although humanity soon descended into rampant disobedience once again, the promise to destroy the earth by another flood was unconditional. God made a covenant with Abraham in which he promised, I will make you, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I will make you, it's on your paper. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse whoever curses you, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Lord, have mercy. This covenant was reiterated in Genesis chapters 15 and Genesis chapter 17. This was also an unconditional covenant. God made a covenant with Israel regarding their use of the promised land. You can find this in Exodus chapters 19 and then chapter 20, number 24. The land had been given to Abraham's descendants unconditionally. However, the use of the land by any specific generation of Israelites was conditional upon, get this, their obedience. As a result, at the times that they lived in a land but were oppressed and not able to enjoy the full benefits of it, as seen in the book of Judges. Get this. Now, later, the Israelites were exiled from the land due to their disobedience and idolatry. However, even though one generation was disobedient, God promised to bring a later generation back to the land. And you can read about that when you go in chapters like Isaiah chapter 11 and it's exclusively in verses 11 and 12. And he kept his word as recorded in Ezra and Nehemiah. God made a covenant with David, get this, that he would have a descendant who would sit on his throne forever. You can find that in 2 Samuel chapter number 7. And this was an unconditional covenant, although the length of reign for any specific Davidic ruler could be limited by, guess what, their disobedience. What do you mean, Pastor? Your disobedience can mess you up. Some of you have been called to be blessed. Some of you have been called to be more. Some of you got rooms in heaven full of things with your name stamped to it, but you cannot have it because you refuse to be obedient. Can I just go ahead and say this? Anytime that you know that God has something for you, but you can't have it because you are determined to do you, not only are you being disobedient, but you are being immature. The reason that this ministry, this building isn't full today and full on Wednesday nights is not because the word is not being taught. It is not because the praise team isn't awesome. It's not because the people don't operate with love. You just showed you operate with love. The reason that we're having problems filling this place up is because of spiritual immaturity. Everybody likes pizza. Pizza's good, but Brussels sprouts is healthy. What do you mean, Pastor? So everybody likes when you and jump over the billy goat and you see the black cat walking across the road. Come on, man. It's just a black cat walking across the road. Everybody loves entertainment, but no one loves education. And it's a problem to the body of Christ. It's a problem to the body of believers that are trying to walk this thing out for real. You understand what I'm saying to you? And it even happens. What happens is we come across what I used to preach about being a divided heart. In other words, you got half of the church that's trying to walk this thing for real, and then the other half of the church that's doing church just because they know to. And the problem that we're having with that type of a situation is that we can't get to the optimum level of success and power that we're supposed to be operating in because everybody ain't on the same page. It is time that we grow up. I am grown, not spiritually. Not spiritually. And if you're not grown up spiritually, then you're a babe. Oh, God. And we got to get this thing together, community. We got to get this thing together. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, lost a large part of the kingdom due to his, get this, foolish choices. What have you lost in your life due to foolish choices? Can I just go ahead and say that probably everybody in here has tricked off some money that could have been a blessing to them down? Can I prove it? Some of y'all will be running around here $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 every February. $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, and guess what? The church don't see $700, $800, $900, or $1,000 in tithes. I tithe, so why should I have to tithe on the? Because if you ain't tithing off the gross, you still owe. Not the house, the Lord. And do you know what the Lord said about his money? He says when you play with his money, he says I want interest. I want a third of what you played with my money, thus saith the Lord. Not Pastor Lyons, the Lord. Oh, God. Some of us better be feeling that. What's that thing called when you try? Debt relief. So some of us need to be having some kingdom debt relief conversations with the Lord on just the interest alone. Lord, have mercy. And so now everybody's, you know, be careful of what you latch on to. I like that preacher because he says, you know, you ain't got to give the 10%. You just give from what your heart and this, that, and the other. Won't you just say you immature? Don't you just say you're immature? When you're trying to get that car, you put down your gross income. When you're trying to get that house, you put down your gross income. When you're trying to get the loan, you put down your gross income. But then when you come to the church, now you won't play games. Well, I'm just saying, I don't bring it home. Well, you didn't bring it home when you were trying to get the loan, but you put it down. Oh, Lord, let me get back to community. What I want you to understand, though, is that they lost kingdom privileges due to foolish choices. And can I just say, if you've been in Jesus over a year, you really should be able to walk past foolish choices. If you've been, the problem is not if the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth, because Jesus told us himself that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead us into all truth. That's not the problem. We're being led properly. The problem is we're not following the leader. We're not following the leader. And I just got a question for everybody who does not follow the leader. How's it working out? Lord, have mercy. This covenant is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Son of David. In Jeremiah 31, God promised a new covenant with Israel. Israel repeatedly violated the terms of the previous covenants, but God promised this would be different because the hearts of the people would be changed so they would want to be faithful. Now, I got a question. How many of you are here in relationships? Just put your hands up, whether you're married or it's just your boo or your bae. Tell the truth. The Lord knows. All right. I see this. Now, I got another question. All right. And this time I want you to keep your hands up. Everybody is married, got a boo obey, whatever. We just talking. All that. Just put your hands up. And keep your hands up. And the ones that want one, put your hands up. Go on, tell the truth about it. Now, here's the thing. You want them to be faithful to you? And if you got a boo obey, a husband and wife, do you want them to be faithful to you? Keep your hands up if you do. But you want somebody to be faithful to you, but you ain't always faithful to Christ. Okay, put your hands down. Maybe unfaithfulness begats unfaithfulness. You see. Is there anybody in the building that's faithful to God and can say confidently, and God is faithful to me? You see. Yeah. Is this people in the church that say, I be coming to church, but it just don't work out for me? Because if that's your story, the question becomes, I know you be coming to church, but have you got to Jesus yet? And we purposely direct this church to be a teaching church so that you can have every benefit and promise that God has for you. So if you're not operating in it, okay. He promised this would be different because the hearts of the people would be changed, so they would want to be faithful. You should want to be faithful to somebody that's been faithful to you. You should want to be faithful to someone that's been faithful to you even when you wasn't faithful to them. And this is fulfilled in the New Testament with the coming of Christ and the indwelling and empowering of the Holy Spirit, who gives the people of God the desire to obey him. What was a surprise to some is that Gentiles were also included in this covenant. Let me break that thing down. What should be surprising to some of us is that all, you know, the felons was included in this covenant. The ex-strippers, the strippers, the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the drug dealers, the gang members, was all included in this covenant. If you want to serve him faithfully. Your past, aren't you glad that you serve a God that does not hold your past against you? Some of us got family members. Some of us are married to some people. Some of us go with some people that you can't, you wish you wouldn't have told them nothing about what you had been through before them, because now they keep on throwing it up in your face. Can I just tell you, if you're dealing with somebody that will throw stuff in your face that you share with them in an intimate moment, trying to get them to understand who you are and why you are the way you are, you don't have a man or a woman, you have a child. And you are casting your pearls amongst the swine. The concept of covenant has been lost in modern society. Promises are broken when new circumstances arise. Contracts are broken and one party simply says, sue me. Marriage is supposed to be a covenant between a man and a woman for life, but divorce is a commonplace today, even in the church. But regardless of how unfaithful people are, God will never be unfaithful to his covenant promises. Today, as believers, we are under the new covenant or the New Testament, and it is the promise that God makes with humanity that he will forgive sin and restore fellowship with those whose hearts are turned toward him. Now, I want to say this because this is bad for the community. It's bad for the community when all of the people aren't operating by the community covenant. Amen? It causes problems for the community when you're not operating by the community covenant. And so Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and his death on the cross is the basis of the promise. The new covenant was predicted while the old covenant was still in effect. The prophets of Moses and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all allude to the new covenant. We are no longer under the law, but under grace. The old covenant has served its purpose, and it has been replaced by a better covenant. In fact, the ministry Jesus received is a superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. You can find that out in Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 6. Under the new covenant, we are given the opportunity to receive salvation as a free gift. Our responsibility is to exercise faith in Christ. Did you hear that? Our responsibility is to exercise faith in Christ. Let me tell you something. You void your responsibility when things happen in your life and you don't stay and your faith does not stay in Jesus. Some of you are trying to figure out why you have not got the people in your life saved. It's because, not just because you're not saved, but why should we have faith in something that you don't? Why should I have faith in something that when hell hits your life, you fold like laundry? Why should I believe in what you don't? The world is tired of seeing people who's down for God as long as everything is good. But when things go awry, when things go bad, all of a sudden, now you're turning to your own ways rather than this God that you claim you trust. I want you to understand, our responsibility is to exercise faith in Christ, the one who fulfilled the law on our behalf and brought an end to the law's sacrifices through his own sacrificial death. Through the life-giving Holy Spirit who lives in all believers, we share in the inheritance of Christ and enjoy a permanent, unbroken relationship with God. So again, let's go over what the word community means. A feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Now, I believe that it is evident that God is doing something serious in the Unity Worship Center. And I believe that it is so very important that we understand what our ministry has been positioned here to do. See, because if you get wrapped up in just, I go to church at Unity, then ain't nothing going to get done. But when you begin to understand that we are a church on mission, that we are a church with a purpose, we are a church with a destiny, we have things to do, we have a kingdom assignment. When you begin to understand that, all of a sudden you begin to look at the Unity Worship Center difference. This is not the funeral church. This is not the wedding church. This is not, you understand what I'm saying to you? This is not where we just come and hang out. This is a church on mission. This is a church that was set by the heavens years and years and years ago to do something crazy in the earth realm. Our mission is serious. Our mission is necessary, and it has kingdom expectations of seeing the lost led to Christ, the saved not just being saved, but operating in kingdom purpose constantly, consistently posing war against the kingdom of darkness. I think that I shared this with you a few months ago. My grandmother used to sing in the choir of her son's a little old Baptist church, and there was a song that they used to sing, and it would say, Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. And Satan, we're going to tear you. They would sing, they said, you've been building your kingdom all over this land, but Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. And the song implies that we're not waiting until hell comes to us. The song implies, Satan, you better hide everything that it is you're trying to do. Have you ever noticed that the scheme isn't blatant at first? It's not open at first. It's not where you could just see straight up, that's the enemy. You understand what I'm saying to you? And the reason that is not just to be able to trick you in, though that is one of the greatest reasons that he does things on the down low. But the reason that the other reason is because Satan knows that if the blood-bought believer gets a notion that hell is in the vicinity, that blood-bought believer is going to begin to want to tear that kingdom down. And the only reason, and don't you ever get this twisted and talking about the enemy ain't powerful. Yes, he is. And let me tell you why he is. Because y'all keep on giving him power. Temptation ain't all that till you're tempted, until you act on that temptation. That song, we're going to tear your kingdom down. Every time that I think about it, it's a war song. It's a war cry. You've been building your kingdom all over this land, but we're going to tear you. They were singing. They were putting the enemy on notice. There ain't a crack house that's safe. There's not a liquor store that can be in peace. There's not human trafficking that's just going to go through with their operation without having to worry about something. Everything, Satan, that you've got your hand on, we're coming to tear it down. That was the old saints mentality. Today, the problem in the 21st century westernized church, can I just be real? Because in most churches, not all, but in most churches, the women are the most dominant people in the church. And can I just go ahead and tell you, this is why churches suffer, because, and I bless God, our men are stepping up to the plate and they're taking on more responsibility, and I bless God for that. But the problem when you have women that is in control of the church, and I don't mean in control, like they just running things, but they just do things, is usually, 9 times out of 10, they are connected to somebody who ain't as saved as them. And this is a problem. This is why you can't be walking around unequally yoked. Because as long as you are connected to somebody that is not about kingdom business, they will always serve as a hindrance to keep you from the things of God. Yeah. Quit running around here hooking up with unbelievers, and you already having a problem being saved yourself. What in the world would I, if I'm having a problem living right, why in the world would I invite somebody into my life that just ain't thinking about living right? The Bible says, can two walk together lest they be agreed? Oh, God. And we're missing out. We're missing out on kingdom blessings because of how we decide to deal with things. We are supposed to be packed out every Sunday, 3 services a Sunday, because what we are about has been communicated, shared, and applied. Believe it or not, there's a world out there that wants to be in church, but they are tired of doing church as usual. They are tired of doing same old church. They are tired of walking in and out of the building no better than when they leave than when they was when they walked in. And here's the thing, if you say, well, we do that here, then that's your fault, because we teach this thing here. From Sunday school to Bible study to the sermon, and most days even the praise team is teaching when they sing. If you walk out of here the same as you walked in, that's on you. That's on you. If you look at the makeup of our ministry, we have, I'm going to start something called the X-Men Ministries, because we have X-everything. We got ex-drug dealers, ex-drug addicts, ex-alcoholics, ex-strippers, ex-whoremongers, ex-homosexuals, ex-prostitutes, ex-lesbians, ex-violent people, ex-rebellions, rebels of God through the way they grew up in church, ex-religious people who judged wrongly. We got it all. We are the X-people. And that is why this ministry is so major, because we have someone for every issue that the lost out there is fighting and facing. We got it all. It's like Prego, baby. It's in there. You know. Pastor, I got somebody that's struggling with. We got somebody for him. Pastor, I got somebody that's struggling. We got somebody for him. And so I need you to understand, I'm not passing the buck when I bring up other names, just their issues, not my specialty. But bless the Lord, we've got somebody who's their issue. They specialize in it. This is why you have to get yourselves together. Because stop believing that it's only supposed to be the ministers and the pastors and the people in titles that's supposed to be helping the world. No. You need to get to a point in your life where you don't have to continue to bring them to pastor. That when God, because watch this, it is not, watch this, if God gave them to you, then why do you think it's my assignment? And you are wasting valuable time. You are wasting valuable time that could be used on discipling, trying to get them to me. And then all of a sudden, because you ain't on your square, you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. You ain't in the word and you ain't in prayer like you're supposed to be. You ain't fasting like you're supposed to be. Now you got a chip because I don't want to miss Criminal Minds to come do your job. Everybody mad at me. Yeah, I tried to call you. Well, you shouldn't have had to call me. Why couldn't you pray for him? Let me go ahead and bless you today, because I don't believe in taking glory that belongs to God. You should be able to pray like I do. You should have a confidence in your life, in your love life with God, that when you pray, heaven hears. And if you got an issue, or you believe that you know, I mean, I can pray, but I don't pray like you, then practice praying. What do you think is more powerful to someone that is lost? What do you think is going to catch their attention more? When they tell you what they're going through and you say, you know what, come on, let's get this. Let's pray right now in the name of Jesus. And yada, and you go right on in and you begin to combat against them, against the spirits of darkness in their life. Do you think that's powerful? Or do you think when they tell you what they're going through, you say, hold on, I'm going to have to share it with somebody else. I'd like you to come to a church that I've not trained in enough. That I can't help you, but if I can get, do you understand? Some people are going through so much hell that they can't make it till Sunday. There's some people have some demons that they're fighting, that even though they might have talked to you Friday night, they don't have the strength by Sunday morning, because that enemy has tore them out the frame. And you are supposed to be in a place in your life where you are able to sit there and lay hands and expect something to happen. And watch this. And when you begin to pray, they shouldn't be saying, and here, oh God, we are. And when you begin to pray, they shouldn't be thinking things to themselves like this. Now, how are you going to help me? I know how you living. Killing your own witness. Let me look around here real quick. Do you know that the majority of you in here are without excuse? Do you know that when people talk to you, they should be able to say stuff like, what church you go to? And you should be like, the Unity Worship Center. And they should be like, I can tell. The majority of you, I mean, there's only about six of you that get a pass. But the rest of you, you're without excuse. You've been here too long. Can I just go ahead and take it deeper? Be careful not to be found illegal to the kingdom. If you're not witnessing on a daily, if you're not discipling, if you don't have a prayer life, if you don't have a devotional life, you are illegal in the kingdom of God. And you got to stop playing games, and you're playing games with God. How is it that you've been at this church for over a year, and you ain't got one person you can look over in this church and say, I witnessed and brought them? Or the people that you did bring, that was 5 years ago. You're illegal in the kingdom. This is not fun. This is not fun and games. This is not, oh, I like how Pastor Lyons is cool, and so, yeah, I go over. No, don't you come back. Don't come back then. You come here because, yo, we learn this word of God. We learn what we have to do. We understand. We are better because we go over there. And we are winning people to the kingdom of God because we go. Don't you come over here because they sing good, because Pastor Lyons is cool, because he relates to me and all that. That ain't going to get you into heaven. This is not a game. This is not a game. Every Monday morning, you ought to be on the workforce. Let me tell you something. We are a community. If you're Christian and you say you're Christian, then me and you right here in this place, in this workforce, we are a community. And we need to change the rules and the covenant, and we need to get this thing together. And everybody on our work site ought to be getting saved by this time in 3 months. We need to be about that life. Girl, where you here at? Man, what you want? Where you learn that at? And then you should be brought. Then you can say, come on to the house of God. Let me show you. Sitting around here just claiming saved because you claiming saved. Disciples disciple. He says, you think you get along with everybody and you cool with everybody because you just a good guy? He says, no, I put that in you. As long as I've known you, you've been able to get down with everybody. Everybody won't kill me. Everybody love you. You know what I'm saying? But the reality is God has given you an influence with people. Watch this, and he's shooting the same people in your head right now that he's shooting in my. God has given you an influence that the moment that you get in their inbox, you get with them one-on-one, and you say, look here, man, this is not a game. You're going to die and go to hell if you don't get this together. They will follow you. And when he gives you that responsibility, when he gives you that blessing, when he gives you that ability, that gift, and you do not use it, illegal. 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 Are you illegal? Are you working for the kingdom? And when are you going to have to stop? When you get to a point when you're going to stop working on you? I mean, I know we all need to get it all together. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be doing that until we die, right? But he does give us a grace to where we get to the point to where it ain't got to always be me. Every song, I got to be the one break down. Every prayer, I need to be the first one in the line. When you going to get to the point to where you apply what you're being taught so that you can turn to somebody else and say, let me help you get to where somebody got me and now we can be saved together? Got to be careful about this attention, seeking attention. The Lord's been dealing with me about that. He says that some people ain't trying to be saved. Some people just want attention. So some people don't want things to be better. They just want attention. They want everybody to feel bad for them. They want everybody, woe is me. Huh? I'm just so proud. You just keep on keeping on with all you've been through. They just want attention. No, no, no. You need to get yourself together so that you can lead others to the body of Christ. Lord, I'm running behind. I'm almost done. Here we go. Don't forget we had communion. All right. We got everything. X everything. We supposed to have everybody. We supposed to have everybody. Me and you walk down a street. Lord, have mercy. Me, you, and CJ walk down a street. Oh, my God. We supposed to grab everybody. Shouldn't be nobody on the block that ain't trying to hear from us. Everybody know Kiki. Kiki should be able to walk down the street because of the influence that's on his life. Amen. Get to church. Man, let me tell you about a God that saved me. Let me tell you about a God that got me together. Come on to church. I'll be picking you up tomorrow. All right, dog, I'll be here. You watch what I tell you, or I'll be a lying prophet. They will concede, they will fold, they will give in. Because I'm going to tell you why. People are tired of being sick and tired, but they need some real examples of this thing can change. I need to see some difference. People sick of, there's people that are sick of being entertained. Entertainment got them in the spot they in now. They need truth. They need deliverance. They need breakthrough. They need healing, not just physical healing, emotional healing. You understand what I'm saying to you? Mental healing. And most of all, spiritual healing. And don't you ever get this thing twisted. Your job as a believer is to disciple others into believers. And that's what brings God glory. You are not witnessing. You are illegal. You are not teaching and talking about the things of God. You are illegal. This is not a game. Hell is hot. This is why this ministry is so major. Because we got someone for everything. And if we could just get it together, if we could truly unify unity, if we could truly unify unity and operate as if we understand our purpose, we could make so much change in the city. Are we going to stop it all? No. But you could say unity's coming out today and everything shifts. I was speaking at a funeral a couple of weeks ago, and a couple of people saw it. It was online, and I thought I was tripping. But they said, and they had me in the lineup, and they said, Bishop Lyons is in the house. They said, oh, Bishop Lyons is in the house. And in my old day, I'd have been like, that's right. Now this thing can get started. But I understood what they were saying. There's a power that comes with Bishop Lyons. And so when I walked up to that pulpit to speak, I spoke on, Lovey, you was there. I spoke as I was meant and sent to speak, with authority, with power, with an agenda. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because I understand who I am. I need you in the body today, in the building today, to understand not just who you are, but whose you are. And when you walk into the room, you walk in with authority, and everything around you should shift, change, and transform. They are dying on our watch. They keep dying on our watch. They keep overdosing on our watch. Grow up. I don't know how many more tears I'm going to shed. How many more tears I'm going to shed? And they dying before they're 40 years old. I watched the eulogy. I watched the funeral service of a person yesterday. Had a baby. How old was that baby? About a year and 6 months, and baby in her belly, right? And he's gone. 35 years old, 36 years old, and he's gone. And he ain't got no say-so in how them babies are going to be raised. Y'all, we got to start getting this stuff. We got to start getting serious. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because truth be told, if they die and you know them, they on your watch, you shouldn't even come to the funeral. You should be too hurt. I knew them. You did. I knew they was in bad shape. You did. Did you witness to them? Well, no. Well, why not? And I'm not saying about you, baby. I'm not saying that. I don't want you to feel that way. I'm saying, though, that people like us, see, we have a far greater responsibility. And here's what can happen. Lord have mercy. Anybody ever been delivered from something? And when you get delivered from something, what do? You try to stay safe, don't you? Because you were so tore out the frame, you don't want a chance. You don't want to take a chance. Hey, I got my freedom. They a mess out there. They off the hook. They crazy. They just ain't got no sense. But you was like that. And could it be that we was like that for as long as we was because we had nobody. We had nobody to speak into us. We had nobody that would come and pray with us. And when we sitting around here guarding our salvation, scary. I don't know. I ain't going out there. They too crazy. I ain't going out here. Last verse. Acts chapter 2, 42. It's on your paper. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper. And to prayer. We're going to have a prayer service in this church that stops ending every week after it starts. We're going to have some dedicated people to say, I'll be here at 6:15, and I'll be praying until Bible study start, or 10 minutes till Bible study start. We're going to have some people out here that'll do that. You ain't got to have a degree in praying. You ain't got to have a degree in theology. You just have to be committed. We're going to have to start praying in this church. And I'm going to tell you why we really got to start praying in this church, because we are the church on mission. We are the church God has sent to make a difference in this city, and we have to pray because there's going to be a constant and consistent warfare against us. And if we don't get ourselves together in prayer, we will not last. It won't be the lack of finances to take us out. It will be the lack of the Holy Spirit. This is what they said. It said, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Let me tell you something. Man, I want to say this to you. It don't make you no less man to devote yourself to your apostles' teaching. It don't make you no less man. In fact, it make you more manly when you can sit back and say, hey, man, this brother preaching truth. This is who I'm sitting with. Notice, I didn't say sitting under. I said sitting with. I'm rocking with my pastor because this is, hey man, he's preaching the truth. He wants to make a difference. You and ladies, we are not telling you that you're not grown because you need to become one with the doctrine that your pastor is preaching. It's not taking anything from you. And let me tell you something, rebellion is childish. Rebellion is what? Witchcraft, and it's childish. So if you're sitting in a ministry that is teaching you on a constant and consistent basis and you are not taking and applying what it is that you're learning, the question becomes, why are you here? And who are you for? And what kingdom do you represent? I am done and tired of playing games with folk. I am done. I'm actually going to stop working the funerals because all I see is failure. All I see is failure. All I see is what we not doing. Every one of us in here has been through so much that we can get out there and we can witness to people and we can make a difference. We can make a difference. Can I just go ahead and tell married people something? Your spouse is not your God. Can I tell single people something? Getting a spouse should not be your kingdom agenda. You are in this body for a reason. You are in this church for a reason, and that's to put that godly work in. And you put that work in out there in the world. It shouldn't be an issue to put it in for the kingdom's sake. Amen? Let me ask you something, and I'm done. How many of you can quote 10 verses? Right off the bat, just like that. How many of you can go 10 of them? Now let me ask you another question. I see the hands. Now how many of you can sing 10 songs? Know every word. Put your hands up. Don't lie. And some of you know I know you, so I know you're lying. Can sing 10 songs like it ain't nothing. Do you see where your priorities lie? We can't quote 10 verses that would save a soul, but we can sing 10 songs off 107.9. Because our priorities are messed up. And it's time we get it together. It is time to protect the community. And it's also time to grow the community up. It's time to, you ought to be sick of milk by now. My grandson, we've been feeding him. He's 3 months now, bless his heart. And we used to get away with just those little bottles of just milk. He'd sleep. They'd put him to sleep for 2-3 hours. A good old hot bottle. Just put him to sleep. 2-3 hours. I got peace. But here lately, he's eating, and the bottle is full and done and empty, and he's still crying. And I check him, and he ain't wet, and he ain't used the restroom. So I grab another bottle just to see. And guess what? He's still hungry because his body is growing, and he needs more. It's the same with the body of Christ. It's the same with the Unity Worship Center. Your bodies ought to be growing spiritually, and you should be needing more. You should be needing more. You should be leaving here hungrier. Ooh, I can't wait. You know what? I can't wait till I get home. I can't wait till I get everything done so I can get in my word and I can feed myself. Because guess what? I'm not your spoon. You can feed yourself. You understand what I'm saying to you today? If I can get the ushers to come on down, we're gonna take our offering. I'm gonna pray you on out of here. Hallelujah.